Well, we come back tonight to Psalm 8, and I want to gather up some of the things we've learned in Psalm 8, and then this morning from Hebrews 2, and how it, in the New Testament, uses Psalm 8. But you can have your Bible open just on Psalm 8 tonight. There is the Hebrew first verse to the chief musician on the instrument of Gath, a psalm of David. That's part of Holy Scripture. But the hymn proper begins at verse 1, our verse 1, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent, your Bible might say how majestic, how excellent is your name in all the earth. And then, have you noticed that at the end of the psalm, verse 9, we have exactly the same thing over again. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. It is the great thing about Psalm 8. It's the burden of David 1,000 years before Christ. It's the burden of Christ himself and of all his people that we sing, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. And I wanted tonight to try and catch that excellent, that majestic, how excellent is your name in all the earth, how majestic is your name. I don't know how you think, how you feel, but it's the kind of word you sort of know in your bones what it means, and yet quite hard to write a sentence or two which catches the meaning. But what I want you to see tonight is that the psalm writer, carried along by God, shows us the meaning, so that saves us trying to write a fresh definition. We study the psalm and we find the meaning, especially of the excellence of God's name. What is that excellence? What is that majesty? Well, I think the first times you read the psalm, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, and then you go on a little, who have set your glory above the heavens? Our eyes are lifted to the skies and beyond. And then we come down to verse 3. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained. And we learn that the majesty, the excellence of God, it has something to do with the skies and the sun, the moon, the stars, that God is displaying himself, his name, what he's like. To some degree, he's displaying those things in the skies. Now, I hope you've discovered in Winchester, I don't know how bright your streetlights are, but I hope you've discovered God's majesty in the skies, in the sun, the moon, and the stars. You may have seen his majesty in the world around you, but there is something about the skies. I don't know, less spoiled by sin and God's judgment upon sin than the world around us. Such a display of God's majesty. And wherever you stand in God's world, there above you is the sky, and God is speaking. He is giving tremendous hints about himself. Sometimes we're concerned about men, women, they live in desert islands and other places. They've never heard the name of Christ. And they've never heard the gospel of God. And we wonder about them and eternity. But you notice that God's name is majestic in all the earth. His majesty comes everywhere. Every eye can see the heavens, the stars he's made with his fingers. And you know where one little man with almost nothing on under his palm tree, where he bows to God. He doesn't know a name, but he bows to God and he says, "Oh, you, behind the sun and the stars and the moon, oh, you, whoever you are, who are you? How majestic you are. I want to find you." You know, no one has ever honestly, earnestly prayed to God like that. And God has not heard them. He's always heard them. And just now, a missionary has come rowing in a boat, or some scripture has arrived on the shore in a bottle, because those prayers never go unanswered. The heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of his hands, but something more is needed. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. And so some scripture comes, a Bible-bearing missionary comes in answer to those earnest cries. But all over the world, the majesty of God is displayed in the skies, and men and women begin to adore their Maker. Now, having said that, and I believe that is in the psalm, that isn't the real majesty of the psalm. That's just the beginning. I want us now to look at verses 2 to 8, and I want us to divide them up into two unequal parts. First of all, 1b, who have set your glory above the heavens, and verse 2, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. That's one part. And then there's 3 to 8. And I want us to look at these two parts to discover what God, the psalmist, what he means by his majesty. Now, in that first part, 1b and 2, I want you to notice three things. And the one is that God is doing mighty things. God is doing mighty things, and they're there at the end of verse 2, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. That is the task which God has set himself. Now, I don't know about your enemies. David had enemies. Jesus Christ had enemies. And it is God's great plan and challenge and task to defeat and to silence the enemy. And then I want you to notice that God does that. He does that through children, through babies, through weaklings. Do you see that? Out of verse 2, the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. So do you see, God is going to defeat the enemy, that you may silence. God is going to silence the enemy, but he's going to do it through the children, through the babies, through the weakest things. He will achieve his mighty plan. And then you notice his method. It's through the children, through the weaklings. But he says, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength. Out of the mouth. There's something coming out of the mouths of these children. And it is by means of their mouths and this strength from their mouths that God is going to defeat the enemy. You know, the Lord Jesus quotes this. He quotes it we call it Palm Sunday, but you know, that day he rides into Jerusalem and they're all crying, Hosanna, salvation. And then he's in the temple and the children start repeating what they've heard the grown-ups saying. And the Lord quotes this. But there's a little twist. He's quoting the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Hebrew psalm. And he quotes it like this. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained praise. Out of their mouth comes strength. Jesus says, out of their mouths comes praise. And it's not difficult to reconcile the two. We don't have to reconcile them. The praises of the children is what God uses. It is a strong thing in God's hands to defeat the enemy. I'm sure you want to do some more work on that verse, but this is the majesty of God, that he will do his mighty acts through children and babies and weaklings, and not through them fighting and shooting and swording, but by the praises of their mouths. And that is the majesty of God. I want you to remember that. Because I believe that there in 1b and 2, but it is confirmed now in the next part, verses 3 to 8. Now in this part, just try and hold that there in your minds. God doing tremendous things through children by their praises. Now remember that. Now see what now the psalm says in verses 3-8. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honour. You have made him to have dominion over the work of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, and so on. I want you to notice three things here. There is God. There is, secondly, the sun and the moon and the stars. And then, thirdly, there is man and the Son of Man. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained. I don't know how much David knew about the stars. I don't know how much the man Jesus knew about the stars. But, you know, there are more stars than our experts can find and count with their wonderful telescopes. There are more stars, and you know, many of them are bigger than our sun. The skies are astonishing, wonderful, and the psalm says it's the work of his fingers. You know, I made a table the other day. And it was a kit, and it took my whole body to understand the instructions to turn a screw. I got a tea towel around the screwdriver. I had both hands on it, and my whole body was turning it, and still I couldn't get it all the way in. He makes the skies and the sun and the stars with his fingers. In other words, the mighty heavens are nothing beside God. He makes them with his fingers. And then he says there are human beings. There are human beings. And by the size of the sun and the skies and the stars, human beings are nothing, we are nothing. What is man under the sky? There's God, there's the sky, and then there's little you and little me. What is man? We are nothing. Now, just glancing back for a moment to the 1b and 2, the children and their praises, defeating the enemy, or God defeating the enemy by means of the children and their praises. In this second part, we are the children. We are the weaklings. There's God, there's the stars, and there's man. And then God is doing something mighty through man in verses 3-8. And the mighty thing now is not defeating the enemies. It is, end of verse 5, you have crowned him with glory and honour. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. Do you see what God is doing? He is managing the universe. He's ruling creation, and he's doing it through man. He's doing it through the pinprick of a human being. And that is his majesty, that he will do the mightiest things through the smallest and the weakest. That is the majesty of God in Psalm 8, to defeat enemies by the children and to rule the world by human beings. Now, we're asking, what is the majesty of God in Psalm 8? Well, it's something that he's displaying through the sun and the moon and the stars. But then more especially, it is him doing the biggest, mightiest things through the smallest and the weakest babies. Now, the third thing I want to say then is this, that the real child, the real little thing through whom God does his mighty things is Jesus Christ. Now, we're not going to turn up Hebrews 2, but do you see that? What is man that you are mindful of him? The Son of Man that you visit him. You made him a little lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor. You put all things under his feet. Do you see the real, the majesty of God is God doing mighty things through Jesus Christ, through that weakling, that child, who's going to say, I'm not even a man, I am a worm, I am a worm. That's how he speaks on the cross. I am a worm, a no man. And it is through him, it is through that, that God does his mightiest things. Now, what I want you to remember tonight, we've thought Saturday night, this morning, about the little Lord Jesus, not a superman, but a weak man, and a weeping man, an attempted man, a groaning man. But what I want you to remember tonight is this, that when he returned to God, when he was ascended, when he was crowned with glory and honor, he did not leave all that behind, you know. And he ascended as one person, two natures, fully God and fully man. And it is through that man that God is reigning, he is crowned with glory and honor, he is given dominion over all things through that little man. God reigns. God man, but man. Now, you know what Hebrews 2 says, that at the moment, not everything is put under his feet. And there are still battles to be fought. There are still battles to be won. But he's crowned with glory and honor. And one day, everything will be in subjection and submission to him. And through a man, a real man, through our dust, through flesh and blood, God will reign over that world to come. And then the last thing I want to say is this. You remember now the way that the psalm is working. That first of all it was David. And it's so important for us still to get inside insofar as we can the experiences of David. But then it's Christ. It's Christ. And he is that man, that Son of Man, who am I, that God should remember me and make me the king to reign and have dominion over his universe. And then, thirdly, this is all of us who are in Christ. As we worship Christ and we sing his song, the truth comes to us and we enter in, and we are the babies and the weaklings too, who are going to sit with Christ on his throne and the Father's throne. And to him who overcomes, I will give to sit on my throne, to sit with me on the Father's throne. Jesus says, I've made you kings and priests unto our God. We are in Christ, the babies, the weaklings, through whom God will do the mighty thing of ruling over the new heavens and the new earth. And that is the majesty of God, that he will do his most wonderful things through little, weak flesh and blood, you and me. Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Now, I don't know all of you in front of me here, but you know, one day this world is going to be burnt up and gone, and God is going to make all things new. And Jesus Christ and his people will reign there. I want you to make it your top priority, the great thing in your life, to be a Christ. To be with Christ there, where everything which defiles is gone. Don't you want to be there? Where everything that defiles, or the other way around, nothing that defiles will be there. It'll be all God-like and clean and cleansed by Christ. Don't you want to be cleansed and free from all that defiles and like God and with Christ forever? Oh, I want you to make that your business. You know, perhaps you're very young, but this life is so quick. Soon we'll all appear at Jesus. And then, will you be outside of the dogs, or will you be inside and reigning with Christ? How do you come there? How do you come there? You know, Hebrews 2 takes up Psalm 8 and talks about God making his Son flesh and blood to taste death for everyone, to bring many sons to glory. That's why he came so low and so weak and so small, and flesh and blood, and to die even the death of the cross, to take many sons to glory. Do you see, there's one way to come to glory. I think perhaps you might be hoping there's another way to come. There's another way to come. Well, you don't think you deserve to be in hell. You don't think God would put you there. You think you've made quite a nice contribution to your family and to Winchester, and you're hoping that God will open the door for you because you're all right. Or you're hoping that there's something in Buddha, or there's something in Muhammad, or what. But remember this, that God did not spare his one and only Son, but gave him up to die. Now, some of you are fathers, some of you are mothers, I don't want to hurt you who are not. But I do believe that God's intention in populating the world this way, he could have done it other ways, but through a mother and a father, is that he wants us to taste, to enter into what it means to be a father and a son for God and for Jesus Christ. You know, if you're a father or mother, you know you want to spare your son. You want to spare your daughter. You want to protect them from everything. That's what human fathers and mothers are like. We want to protect them. And that's what God is like. But he did not spare his son, but he gave him up freely for the cross. Now that God has done that, you know there's no other way. He hasn't done that for you and I to find some other way to God, and some other way to Christ, and some other way to that world where nothing defiles. There's only one way. It's Christ. It's that Son. And that's it in the end. Do you have Christ? Does Christ have you? Do you have Christ? Does Christ have you? And that's it. And that's it. You have him. He has you. Do you? Then you're Christ's, and Christ's forever, and he brings you safely home. Well, we'll sing our closing praise tonight, which is 110. Oh, what matchless condescension the eternal God displays, claiming our supreme attention to his boundless works and ways. His own glory he reveals in gospel days. Number 110, we'll stand for singing. Yes, sir. sunshine.